Our sermon this morning is going to be taken from Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. We are going to focus on a couple points and on verse 7 there of looking at the value of this gift that we see. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bonds of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Father God, as we come into your service this morning, as we turn to these words, Lord, would you open us up to the power of your word? Would you show to us by the power of the Holy Spirit the meaning of the gift of salvation, the gift that is found only in Christ Jesus? Lord, help us to see how we at times neglect the gospel when we hold on to superstitions of the world, things of this world. Lord, we thank you for helping us, leading us, and showing to us the truth of Christ Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. As we look at these words in Ephesians, we see the Holy Spirit powerful in these words that Paul is writing. I believe this morning, as the Holy Spirit reminds you of Easter, reminds you of the payment that Christ made, reminds you of the empty tomb that was there, as all of these things come into your minds this morning as you come to worship a crucified and risen Savior, we're going to see the power of Christ, how it is that it's a personal relationship that each one of us has with Christ. Even as we come together this morning as a group, as a church, as a family, we come together this morning to worship, but your faith and your understanding of Christ Jesus is yours personally and yours alone. The gift of Jesus is one. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, we see the hope of the gift, the biblical hope, the promise of the gift. Not the hope like, I hope that the Packers win the Super Bowl is what I usually use because I want to make sure people know I'm a Packers fan, but I hope that the Packers win the Super Bowl. That's not the same. And we saw that in Jessica's readings. The hope, we're not hoping for something we see. We hope for that is unseen, the promise, the spiritual life found and secured only in Christ Jesus. Remember that this morning. As you are taking notes or as you're reflecting later in the week, we have our spiritual life. Our hope is only in Christ Jesus. We can't add to it. We can't subtract from it. That assurance that we have of salvation is when we call upon the name of Jesus. And you and I know that our ability to call upon Jesus is only given to us when the Holy Spirit wakes us up. We are dead. We are lost in this world. We believe that everything this world has to offer is true and wonderful and fancy. And the Holy Spirit shakes us, wakes us up. And we realize that the world is not all that it's cracked up to be. And he reveals to us the power through Scripture. Today, as we look at this Scripture, we're going to focus on the gift, which is Christ Jesus, the gift which is new life that is kept in clay pots, and you and I are those clay pots. If you didn't catch that as Michelle was sharing, we are the ordinary, everyday clay pot that if your kids or grandkids ran into the house, they would grab a cookie out of the clay pot. It's not something fancy crystal that you got for your wedding that nobody can touch and you put it into a shelf and you just look at it. We're talking about regular, ordinary clay pots that God uses every day, that God sends out into the world and says, you know what? My love is inside of you. Go and share. We are those clay pots, chipped, broken, maybe a little dusty, little cracks here and there, but he gives us strength and he sends us forward to share with others. We're also going to focus on the singularness of Christ Jesus, that it is in him alone, that he came to purchase us from God. That's one thing many people overlook. They think Christ came down to make the payment to buy you and I from Satan. No. He bought you from God. You were wretched. You were sinful. You had this big tally against you of all these things you did. And God looked at those and said, you know what? The payment for all of that is death and separation from me. And Jesus came down and paid that price. Bought us from God as wretched and horrible so that we could be returned to God as perfect and holy and righteous. Not that you and I live perfect, holy, and righteously, but because of Christ Jesus, God sees us as perfect and holy and righteous. The victory is there when we see the empty tomb and we know that he is risen, that he is risen indeed. If you have your Bible still open, take a look at verse 1 and 4 this morning. Then we're going to see Jesus, the Son of God, who lived a perfect life. He willingly went to the cross to fulfill the will of God, in which he became that payment, and he became victor over the grave. Verse 1 says, and I'm going to jump into the middle a little bit there then, where Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And then verse 4, we also see, just as you were called into one hope when you were called. When Lazarus was in the tomb, he was called by Christ Jesus by name, Lazarus, come forth. Mary at the tomb sees the gardener. She's all confused. She wants to know what's going on. Where did the body go? And Jesus says, Mary. And she recognizes him and understands him. He called her by name. This first point that we look at today is often the one that is most difficult for you and I as humans to grasp onto. This concept that we are called. Our triune God called us into life. He made you spiritually alive. You couldn't have decided on your own that, you know what, this morning I think I'm going to be a Christian, because you were lost in a world of sin. You were like Lazarus, dead in the tomb. He called you alive, made you spiritually alive, and then he has given you a job. Maybe not a job to stand behind a pulpit. Maybe not a job to go to Brazil, but a job to be a godly parent, a godly spouse, a godly neighbor, a godly coworker. He has given to you a profession that you need to do, to share the word of God with those that are around you. We see here the reference that Paul had to the hope that continues to be shared through the inspiration of God's word, the promise that we have, the realization that Christ Jesus is that hope. We, as the body of believers, are one hope, and we are in one spirit. We within the AFLC would hold to the congregation being the right form of the kingdom of God on earth. One where the scripture is shared in truth, the scripture is shared in entirety, the scripture is shared even at times when you go, wow, why would the pastor read that to us this morning? That isn't a very nice passage. We share the word in entirety to the glory of God, because God works through those passages. Just as he works through the gospel message that gets you all excited and fills you with joy, and you leave church going, that was great. He also uses passages that some people go, wow, I can't believe I ever acted that way. I can't believe I ever thought those things or said those things. I haven't been very Christian. And he works through all of his scripture, calling us to life. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we see that on everything that the AFLC publishes. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Because he called you. Because he made you alive by name. Never forget that. That he called you by name. He didn't call you because you went to this church or that church, or because you had this Sunday school teacher or that Sunday school teacher. And many of my Sunday school teachers are here this morning. It isn't because of that. It's because Jesus called you by name, woke you up, and made you alive. The Holy Spirit is still working today, folks. Even as we see everything going on in the world, how things are tore up, how things are messed up, how it seems like Christians are being persecuted everywhere, the Holy Spirit is still helping, leading, and comforting believers, helping us to grow. Maybe here in our own congregation, as you guys are searching for a pastor. Maybe in your job where you're feeling like, wow, every time I bring up the name of Jesus, people get angry. Maybe it's for those that are overseas that we see in the face of peril more than we see. That is where we see the Holy Spirit working, leading, growing the church. The power of the Holy Spirit shows to you and I that we can't do anything on our own. We can't earn our salvation. We can't buy it. We can't do enough good deeds to do it. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. There's nothing we can do to become alive in Christ Jesus. It is a calling. It is a spiritual calling where he brought us to life. Despite of our sinful nature, despite our weak flesh, our flesh that continues to struggle over and over with worldly concepts today. You and I, apart from Christ Jesus and the work that he did upon the cross, we're responsible for our sinful nature. We're responsible for the way we behave and act. So we are held accountable. We are in bondage to the law if it is your choice to hold to the law perfectly. You have to be perfect in all aspects. That's why you are in bondage to the law. That's how the law holds you, is because all of a sudden now all you can do is work to get everything done right. But then the blessed gospel message comes, doesn't it? Christ Jesus was sent to fulfill the law, to make the payment, to show that God's love and God's righteousness and God's justice was valid. And he became the payment. He removed all the wrath from us. That big word, propitiation. If you don't know that word, it's a fun word. You know, it's the removal of God's wrath. Which means the law, when you were spiritually alive, woken up, shaken. My dad pulled short hairs. The short hairs were pulled. And you realize what a wretched sinner you were. Then the gospel message is there. Then the gospel message is sweet. Then the understanding of the value of the gift that is inside of us becomes real. And we praise God. And we fear him. There's that funny word, fear, too. We fear him. We don't fear God when we don't know God. We walk through this world. We don't even know what's going on. We don't really care. We're trying to get ahead in the world. We're trying to gather enough toys and enough things so things were going our way. But then he woke us up, and he told us about that law that I just talked about. And we feared him. We're like, wow, this is the man who can send me to hell. Not only can he kill me, he can send me to hell. And at the same moment, because we were called, because we were justified, we then realize, but he saved me. And we are in fear, we are in awe of him for what he did, how he made us alive, how he brought us back to the point where we see him and we are filled with joy and excitement because of what he did. And we want to go out and share. To pick on Jessa a little bit, as mom and dad, and maybe you guys as the congregation, maybe Arliss sitting with this little girl for years and years and years while she was a little sheep, who would have imagined that she would go downtown Minneapolis to share the gospel message with the Somalians? Who would have imagined that she would have said, I'd like to go to Brazil for 3 months? God works in our lives. God changes us. Most of you know me. And kind of remember the first time I maybe stood up here, tried to get as low as I could behind the pulpit so that nobody could really see me while I shared. I didn't know what God was doing. And yet he changes us. He gives to us gifts. He gives to us things to do. Yes, when the value of the gift of Jesus, born in the manger, filled with the glory of God, who went to the cross to purchase poor sinners from death, and made it known to us. He made it known to us. And when we come to see the calling and we realize the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, my favorite, well, not my favorite phrase, that's probably a bad thing to say, one of my favorite phrases, on that day. On that day, it became real. On that day, we understood who Jesus was. On that day, it became real and personal. All the things that we went through our lives as we grew up in the church, many of us. And all of a sudden, it becomes real. and we understand what was going on, and our lives change. As we move with Paul here, looking at this concept of the gift, the concept of what's going on and how he changes us, the oneness. And this is the thing I think our world today is at such risk of, is trying to find ways that we can add to stuff. You know what? Here's a $20 bill. Well, what's the catch? You know, we think there's a catch. Here's what you need to do for your job. Okay, well, I'm going to do these other things so I can make sure I do good in my job. I want to keep adding to it. And we think that within our Christian faith, too. Paul here is combining a number of thoughts, and each one of them he identifies as one, and we collectively see them as one as well. Paul here is talking to Christians at Ephesus. I'm sharing this morning with those that are here that are Christians. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, you may not get this. You may go, oh, it's a whole bunch of different stuff. How can it be one? The power of the Holy Spirit causes you to see this. God is talking about how, or Paul is talking about how when you are struggling, how you're trying to figure things out, how you're trying to add to things, trying to augment the effectiveness of Christ, we want to add to it. Sharing the things that you think are too simple. I know that probably even sounds funny, but we look at the gospel message and we're like, what do you mean he called us by name and he knew us? And all of a sudden now we become Christian and the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and teaches us through that process of sanctification, and we continue to grow as a Christian. Don't I have to do stuff? Don't I have to add to it? No, it is one. The effectiveness of Christ alone. If you struggle with this world, if you struggle with false teachings and that are shared, and they're shared by many that claim to be Christian, there are many today who claim to be Christian. They might be on a Christian radio station. They might be on a Christian TV station. There might be books that you pick up in the Christian section of the bookstore that are going to tell you and teach you how to augment what Christ did. Maybe even go as far as saying, well, Christ isn't the only way to get to heaven. Folks, that is danger. We know, and the gospel shares to us, Christ is the only way. There is one God, one hope, one faith, and one baptism. Because all else is not the teaching. We are told in Scripture that we are to identify, to know, and to realize who the false teachers are. Does that mean that you're smarter than everybody else? As you walk around in this world and you think, well, look at everything I know. No, the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. We always rely upon the Holy Spirit and Scripture that teaches us and shows to us how it is that Christ gave us life, how it is that the Holy Spirit called you to life. The Holy Spirit gave you faith. The Holy Spirit gave you the ability to believe. And wow, the joy that we have in knowing Him and feeling Him and understanding the joy that is Christ Jesus. Friends, this is the utmost importance. Again, if you're taking notes this morning, you cannot add to the value of the gift of Christ Jesus. The gift that is stored in the clay pot, this clay pot that Michelle talked about, the gift that is stored in here, you can't add to it. You can't make it better. Christ Jesus is the ultimate gift. New life in Christ is the ultimate gift. And we want to share it with everybody. We are called to go forward into the world and to make disciples, sharing. Let our lives be a witness and a testimony to who God is and how He changed us. And that's the joy that we have in being a Christian. Because, folks, there's no benefit in believing to man's religion or false teachings, astrology, mysticism, psychics. There's no value in there other than to pull you away from Christ. You and I trust and hold to Christ Jesus, for we are Christ ones. That's what Christian means, Christ ones. We are the ones who follow Christ. Friends, we are told in the New Testament that you and I, simple men and women, will know. I was given the job to equip the saints. That's you guys. I'm supposed to go forward and share the gospel message, to share the word, to encourage you, to inspire you, to go forward to share the gospel message. You, the saints. The saints aren't these great people that were put up on pedestals because they did wonderful and amazing things. Saints were and are clay pots. You guys who stepped out when you needed to start this church. You guys who are parents and grandparents, adoptive parents, those that just go out into the communities to share with others what Christ has been doing. That is who God had called. That is who the saints are. So if you are stumbling today and filled with doubts and fears of where you will spend eternity, and you're seeking out alternative methods, Paul tells us, don't. Don't, for there is one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Friends, that's the joy we have this morning of knowing Christ Jesus is our Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is one. And all that he has given and done for us is one. He has pulled us forward, pulled us into life, gave to us the ability to believe, gave to us the ability to go forward and share the good news with others. Maybe not from the pulpit. Maybe from your kitchen table. Maybe from somewhere in a cafe. Or again, at your workplace. He, Christ Jesus, is all we need, for our living God is one. We are purchased by him. We are secured by Christ Jesus from the wrath of God. We are sons and daughters, adopted into the family of God. And God sees believers as holy, as set apart for his purpose because of the gift. So if you still have your Bibles open, jump to verse 7. Verse 7 says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Do you know what that means? He called you into life. Christ went to the cross. Christ made the payment. Christ declared from the cross, "It is finished." Because you were purchased at a price, and he was that price. We saw him raised from the grave, the empty tomb, victorious. We saw him on Ascension Sunday going up into heaven. And this morning we feel the power of the Holy Spirit through Pentecost Sunday, when we are given the ability to share the word of God, the gospel message, with all. Because God will give you the right words to share. That is the joy in being a Christian. Do you know that joy? Do you wake up in the mornings filled with joy because Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Do you wake up in the morning and say a prayer to him, thanking him for all that he's done for you? Or do you wake up going, "Man, I can't believe it's a rainy day today. Man, I can't believe I live in South Dakota and it's 22 below. Or do we wake up going, "Yes, Lord, I'll go share this morning. Thank you for all the benefits and the blessings and the joys that you have given to me. Because of Jesus, he gave to you life. He gave to you a profession. And we give God the glory in all things." Friends, the joy and the excitement for believers today is found in this last verse when we see the measure of Christ's gift. Because apart from this suit, I know it may not look it, but I'm kind of beat up. I don't look maybe like I used to. I got a few scars going on from some surgeries. Getting older, forgetting things. God works in old, busted clay pots. Because that joy of Christ starts to come forward. People will ask, "Well, what was this crack from? What was this mark from?" And we'll say, "You know what? That was a pretty trying time in my life. And God brought me through it. God helped me through those days. God healed me. God gave me life. God gave me a second chance. God gave me the opportunity to spend more days with my family. God gave me the opportunity to share with you today." That's the joy we have in these old, broken vessels that we are. And the measure of Christ's gift is given out. Amazing Grace states it this way: "I once was blind, but now I see. Had an old heart of stone, and it's been replaced with a heart of flesh. He woke me up. He made me spiritually alive. We see that concept of Paul's conversion in this blindness, where Paul was blind and now he sees. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. I understood the law. And the law told me I was a sinner. And the law told me that I had to pay the price for all that I had done. And 'twas grace. Let's see, I got to get back to my point. 'Twas grace my fear relieved. That fear is gone because Christ Jesus came into my life. Because Christ Jesus made me whole. Because Christ Jesus saved me and made to me a child of God. 'Twas grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear? Decades after, years after I got my theology degree, after I got this, after I spent 20 years in my church, after I was a deacon for 50 years? No. The hymn's writer says, the hour I first believed. Justification is what the writer is pointing out there. The moment you believe in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the measure of Christ's gift is real, complete, whole. It is yours. And he teaches us how to be a Christian from that day forward. But our joy of being a Christian is at that moment, the hour I first believed. It is at that point that that treasure, that new life, the understanding of the Holy Spirit is shared with others. Because all of a sudden we can't contain it anymore. This little light of mine, I maybe should have had Shirley play that song at some point today. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. We share the treasure that God has given to us. That's the joy that we have. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know and to be sure of the new life you have in Christ. Because there are so many in this world who have left. Some we believe too early. Some we believe lived a long life. Yet God called them home. Are you ready? If God called you home today, would you know where you would spend all of eternity? Would it be in heaven, praising and worshiping God forever? Or do you not know? And friends, if you don't know today, seek me out after church, find one of your deacons, find a good Christian friend of yours that you can talk to and ask and question. Because folks, that joy, that assurance that you have of where you will spend eternity, oh, it helps. It doesn't make sorrow go away, I'll admit. Losing family, losing mom and dad, it hurts. But the joy of knowing that they knew the Lord makes each day so much better. Share the treasure that's in you. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we come to the end of your message, Lord, help us to see, help us to realize, fill us with joy, fill us with strength, fill us with the ability to share, because you are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you called by name and you woke your people up. You brought to us the joy of knowing you. You brought to us the peace that comes from understanding that Jesus is the payment that you accepted. Father God, I thank you for this congregation, their dedication to the Word, their ability all those years ago to stand up and say, you know what, we need a congregation that believes in Jesus. We need a congregation that trusts and relies solely on the Word of God. And Lord, may you make that real in our hearts today, that as we go through our days, that we would demand the truth, that we would demand that our Christian morals and our Christian values would be upheld in our country. And that, Lord, we would not waver even in the face of persecution. Lord, give to us strength, because these old clay vessels are filled with your treasure. Lord, give us the strength to share. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.